Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. We generally join you after the Sunday night game finishes, Mike Somich, but we've got a banger. We've had 45 second half points between the Packers and Cowboys, shot for shot with your boy Love and Dak Prescott. Overtime, Dallas 40, Green Bay 37. Green Bay's going to get the ball here.
Yeah, pretty incredible, man. Just give me the Cowboys every week in primetime. I mean, there's storylines galore. The defense is a mess. The offense with Dak Prescott, when he's playing like this, is very good, even without CeeDee Lamb. I mean, I'm really enjoying this game. That being said,
it is.
How big was that blocked extra point? It felt like this was going to be a Packers just steamroll game. Instead of 14-0, it's 13-2. The Packers or the Cowboys go down, get another score, and all of a sudden, this is a game. It feels like without that blocked extra point, this would be a very different situation.
It's a great Dallas offense. You mentioned the 2 points coming back the other way, kind of the difference here. I will say, you mentioned no Lamb. Big breakout game for George Pickens. Pickens on the night, 8 receptions, 134 yards, tough catches as well, Samo, and a couple of tutties.
You got to give credit to the Cowboys coaching staff here. We saw Pickens really struggle last week when Lamb came out of the game. But then here with a week to be able to prepare, to be able to set up for this, all of a sudden you're seeing Pickens consistently get open. He's had a monster game here and just seems like he's able to beat man coverage every single time he gets it. We did see a Parsons sack, but it wasn't the big impactful sack that I think we were all expecting, able to just trip up Dak Prescott right around the 5-yard line there on the first drive in overtime. So we'll see if the Green Bay Packers can respond here. We'll see if this ends in a tie. I mean, everything is on the table here with about 4 minutes left in overtime.
And it looks like the money late was right. Remember, we were 7.5 at points on this game. Ends up closing 6.5 everywhere. So, dipping below that 7 with the Cowboys obviously looks like it's going to be the right money here.
Yeah, it does. And the offensive line issues for the Packers have again shown themselves. This isn't a great Cowboys pass rush, but you're missing Tom. You're missing Banks. Your number five, I guess, offensive lineman also out here. So 3 of your top 7 O-linemen down for this game. And the Cowboys have been able to heat up Love. He's still played great. I mean, he's sitting here with 306 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks in overtime. But the pressure has been there, and that's not allowed the deep shots I think everyone was expecting from this Packers offense.
Yeah, no, Love's been great. Dak's been great. Dare I say, the Cowboys have become a whisper, a likable football team. It's just kind of game in it outside of Chicago with the offense. You're getting, obviously, 37 points for Green Bay here, so the defense is a problem. But you have to look at the Green Bay defense as well. The Dallas offense is good. I will say this about Parsons. He hasn't looked healthy in the game. Came out a couple of times holding his back. Seemed maybe a couple issues there. We knew there were already injuries coming in.
Yeah, it's a big piece of this defense because he really makes everybody better around him. You mentioned the back. He got checked for a concussion at one point in this game, so he's not been able to stay on the field, I'm sure, as much as he would have liked in this situation. But, you know, like I said from the top, like you just said, the Cowboys are likable. They're fun to have on TV right now.
They are.
Because there's points but back and forth. You got storylines all over the place. I don't mind seeing that star in the middle of the field on a Sunday night.
All right, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher, Sharp Money. The formula's easy. We hit you every Monday morning after these Sunday night games. You download the podcast. Do us a favor. Like, subscribe, share it. We appreciate you. And we run the board. Rotation number. We look ahead to the next week with the openers. And I'm just taking a look at the game, so pardon me as we get it going. Let's start in Dublin, 2:51. And remember, week 5, we introduced the byes. So you're going to have the Falcons, the Bears, the Packers, and the Steelers on a bye. So week 5 through 14 in the NFL with the byes. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be one of those on a bye, and they're going to go out with a win in Dublin, Minnesota, 2:51, Pittsburgh, 24-21 winner for the Steelers.
Yeah, they almost found a way to blow this game late as we saw a big comeback from Minnesota fall a little bit short. Minnesota wins the fourth quarter 15-3, but can't quite cut into the gap here. And this was a Pittsburgh team that kind of just jumped out on the Vikings for, I don't know, all 3 of their wins now. They have lost the yardage gains. So the Minnesota Vikings outgained them 372 to 313 in this spot. But you just see the Steelers be able to create points in other ways. They're able to turn over teams, and that was, again, the difference here. You saw multiple interceptions from the Minnesota Vikings, and it just made it very difficult for the Vikings to be able to consistently put points on the board. I wasn't overly impressed with Rodgers again. This time we get an 80-yard DK Metcalf touchdown, and it's a 12-yard in route that ends up going to the house, but gets the job done. I mean, at some point, this Tomlin magic has to run out, but it feels like it hasn't. The market doesn't respect the Steelers team. I don't overly respect the Steelers team, but they are 3-1, and they have a commanding lead in that division right now, Patrick.
Yeah, well, they won this game because the defense, which we've been waiting on for the Steelers, finally stepped up. They bullied that offensive front. They sacked Wentz 6 times, 2 big picks, as you mentioned. And Rodgers is really a non-factor. It was Kenneth Gainwell. They got the run game going for the first time as well, the Steelers today.
Yeah, and the Vikings also lost their center, which they brought over in the offseason. He leaves the game with a concussion, so that was 4 of the 5 offensive linemen that the Vikings wanted to start who were out for this game. So that helped that defensive line push around the Vikings offensive line, especially with Carson Wentz behind him, not someone who handles pressure all that well. This was a Pittsburgh defensive win like we have seen in the past and able to hold on late. So it's a nice win for Pittsburgh to go over there, start their season 3-1, and go on the bye.
Yes, Amo, I mentioned the Steelers are going to go on the bye, as you just mentioned, and we got to talk about the travel for Minnesota. So they're in Dublin. They're going to London to play at Tottenham Stadium there where the Spurs play, and they're going to be taking on a team that lost today as well. Cleveland, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Next up, rotation 253. So the late game magic ends for Tampa Bay and the Bucs. 2 banged up. We talked about this game going into it. A lot of scoring, 31-25, Philadelphia does win. They close 3.5. We recommended Philadelphia because just insurmountable injuries here for Tampa. But Baker and the Bucks tried to do what they do, tried to get into it late and just came up short.
It's funny, I was watching this game, and the Rams-Eagles game from last week kind of flashed back into my mind, just except the Eagles were the team that jumped out, and then we're getting caught here. Bucks controlled the second half. They won the second half. We'll call it 17-7. There was a late safety in this game that cut it from 8-6, did not make the difference in the total or the side here. But this first half was dominated by the Eagles. They were pushing the ball downfield. I thought they looked very good from that perspective, able to really control this game, able to get to Baker Mayfield, make his life difficult. And then you saw 2 big touchdowns in the second half to ignite this Bucs offense. Bucky Irving goes for a 72-yarder. Ibuka goes for a 77-yarder. Both of those through the air. And all of a sudden, we had a football game. But the Eagles defense, able to step up, able to hold off this Bucs team when it counted, and get a quality win. Tampa Bay now has to go to Seattle here on a short week. They are still banged up. They did get back Godwin. They got back Wirfs. Both of those mattered for them. I thought Godwin was okay. Had 10 targets, but just 3 receptions in this game, Patrick.
Bucky Irving was awesome.
He was amazing. 65,
so, I mean, just incredible. He was all over the place. But the one thing you have to say, again, this Eagles team, Mike, if you're a championship team, you're going to do it on special teams as well. That was the difference. They had a couple of blocked field goals last week. They had a blocked punt that was returned for a touchdown in this one. You know, they had a 24-6 lead at the break. And as you mentioned, second half won by the Bucs. The Eagles just keep winning. We doubt them. They keep winning. We did bet them this time. Now, quickly on the Eagles, they're going to be hosting Denver next week. 5.5, 4.5 in the market as well. Do you have a look ahead on that one, Denver and Philly?
So Philly was a 4.5-point favorite on the look ahead with a 43.5 total. It opens 4.5, 5.5, still sitting at that 43.5 number. The Broncos yet to play. They'll play tomorrow night as 7.5-point favorites.
Okay, Samo, and then 477, Tampa Bay is going to go to Seattle. Tremendous game. Tampa Bay has to get healthy. I mean, that the Wirfs was back, as you mentioned, and Godwin, but they... Ibuka stepped up today, but they've got to get healthy. It's a tough task to travel out to Seattle.
Yeah, long trip, short week, banged up offensive line still. I mean, you get Wirfs back, but you're still having to shuffle the other 4 pieces because of the offensive linemen that have landed on the IL for you. We talked about this on Thursday. The look ahead was 1.5. We said bet Seattle. The reopen is 3. So Seattle now a 3-point favorite. Total stayed at 44.5. Hopefully everyone out there has those Seattle 1.5 tickets, because even if you don't like Seattle, now you can decide how to play. Because if you just bet the same amount on the Bucks or more on the Bucks, you've got a 3 where you win and push, and you've got, so you can create yourself value even if you don't like a team. If you know the number is going to move, you still bet the number because you can come back and middle it, or you can come back and get a bigger portion with some coverage on the other side.
Yep, good point. Next one. So we talked about the egregious number. Usually you're going to see a 15.5, 16-point spread later in the year. Now, I think it closed 14.5. We're talking New Orleans, of course, at Buffalo. A lot of survivor contestants can exhale because this was a sloppy game by the Bills, especially in the second quarter. I think they had just 13 yards The Saints were able to get going on the ground, Kamara and Miller. So they gave the Bills more than they bargained for. I thought the Saints looked good in this game.
I thought the Saints actually looked very good in this game. There was a point where it looked like they were actually going to take the lead. They end up getting the touchdown taken back. They settle for a field goal to make it 21-19. And then Buffalo goes down, scores, not able to really, the Saints not able to really hold on against a better Buffalo team. But another C-minus effort from Buffalo after what we saw against the Dolphins last week, kind of sleptwalk through this one. Crazy that they almost covered. They had the ball in Saints possession to go up 16 points. So would have covered every single number, end up kicking a field goal there, win the game by 12. I think you got to respect the Saints team, though. I mean, they're fighting. Like, Rattler now 0-10 as a starter.
But not terrible.
Not bad, though. And the record is 0-19, by the way. Kaiser Sose there, who started for the Browns for a while.
Deshaun.
Was 0-19. So he is. That's the record we're chasing here. But it feels like you're at least seeing strides from this Saints team, specifically on the offensive side. So I don't think they're a complete doormat here. And like you said, the late money right coming in on the Saints and them covering every number.
Well, let's look ahead. Saints are going to get a home game here, 471. Here comes Dart off a big win. We'll get to him. And the Giants at New Orleans. I've got, you know, 2.5 mostly. Do you have a look ahead on that one?
Yeah, interesting here because this was 1.5. Giants minus 1.5 for the majority of the week. There was actually Giants money this morning to push the look ahead out to Giants minus 2, total sitting at 43.5. We've reopened anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 as the Giants favorites, total for the most part sitting at 42.5. So total ticks down, little Giants money. Not that shocked that we got a little bit of Giants money after what we saw from Jackson Dart. We'll talk about his performance a little bit later. But I'm not looking to lay it on the road with this Giants team.
Certainly not. No. Certainly not. Just quickly, a time ticking down overtime. Look, this is going to be old news by the time you get sharp money, but we're trying to figure out what to do with the Packers, who I mentioned will go on a bye, and a spirited effort here by the Cowboys down in the red zone for the Packers, down 3, might end up in a tie. New England, Buffalo, 483. That's going to be your Sunday night game in division next week. I think you said it. Buffalo, sloppy, and 8.5 feels like a little too heavy.
Yeah, look, this was the look ahead on this game was 10, Patrick. So the look ahead is actually dropped by 1.5 out to that, or 2 points, depending on where you're shopping. The total is actually ticked up a little bit. So 49 look ahead, 49.5, the new total. Kind of like the over here. I mean, the Patriots. We'll get to them in a second, but they put a bunch of points on the board today. Feels like they have a offense that can move the football, and this defense, not great.
No, not great at all. As I check out, here's your boy Love, and it looks like, yeah, time is tick, tick,
a
tick.
Mess.
Yeah, this offensive set here has been a mess down in the red zone for the Packers. Next one, 257, Carolina and New England. So 5.5 on the close. Carolina is not a very good football team. They looked impressive in their opening drive, but they did absolutely nothing after that. And we're waiting for, I know it's been discussed that, you know, we talked about the Patriots getting better as the year progresses with the turnovers, which are, you know, something that you would have a regression on. But special teams were great today, especially the punt returner. And it was just a real big ass whooping by New England over Carolina.
Yeah, they just took care of business. This is a New England team that moved the football up and down the field at will. 28-6 at half. You see Diggs go for over 100. I thought that was a good thing for them there. And, you know, this is a defense that I didn't think was incredible, but they are, you know, they're able to hold the Panthers down to 13 points. And really, this game was flipped in the first half. Once you have a Patriots team that's 21-8 on the Panthers, it's hard for them to come back if the Pats can continue to move the ball. We saw the 5 turnovers really spoil them moving the football last week against the Steelers. This week, the turnovers weren't there, able to put some points on the board. Again, that's why I think I look toward the over there in the Bills-Pats game next week.
Yeah, 8.5 feels heavy. Buffalo, it's a tie here, 40-40, so the game is over with the Packers and the Cowboys.
Like, can we talk about this for a second? 2 possessions in overtime, and the Packers are fortunate to kick the field goal. They complete a pass over the middle on what was second down, and there is 17 seconds left. They have no timeouts left. They're rushing to get a play, and Love throws to the end zone. They call it incomplete with 1 second left. Did not review the clock, which I think is interesting there. And the Packers kick a field goal with 1 second left to preserve the tie here against Dallas. Clock management, interesting here. Like what? Like to not play a little faster earlier.
Yeah, no
if you
urgency.
Were the Packers to try and give yourself the time to be able to score. They got the ball back with over 4 minutes left, and yet you run out of time in the red zone.
Yeah, yeah. The urgency was not there. By the way, as I mentioned, this is the second Sunday night game that we've gotten 80+ points. 80 points today. Remember, opening the year with Buffalo hosting. Oh, and we'll get to them. The Ravens, 80-plus points in that one as well.
And just real quick, Patrick, survivor implications. Tie is not a win. You did not survive with the Green Bay Packers. So we've got another 478 people, 3.5% of the Circus Survivor pool that go down without losing. They go down with the tie in Green Bay tonight.
Kissing your sister. 259. So for bettors, Atlanta was in a spot where up-down league, you play probably the worst game of the year. When you get shut out in Carolina, you come back and you look like a Super Bowl team. That's really now Washington's banged up. No McLaurin, no Daniels, obviously. A 34-27 winner for Atlanta. They end up closing 2.5 and they do cover that number.
Yeah, I mean, this one was a little interesting right from the jump because when we recorded on Thursday, we didn't know if Daniels would play. He didn't. We didn't know if McLaurin would play. He didn't. So this is a shorthanded Washington team in this game. Kroski Merritt does go, but not all that effective, only has 7 carries in the game. We talked about how bad Michael Penix was last week. Exact opposite. He was awesome today.
He's great.
The ball out on time. Everything looked crisp. He goes 20 for 26, 313 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. You've got a touchdown from Robinson and Algier on the ground. Drake London goes for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Robinson goes for under 100 yards. Kyle Pitts, resurgence, goes 5 for 70 and a touchdown here. This is what everyone thought this Atlanta offense would look like at the start of the season. Here in week 4, they finally reached that potential.
Yeah, 435 total yards. That's an indictment against Dan Quinn's defense as well. But Bijan, 181 total yards. I think he nailed it with Penix. Even the outs, which he was having issues with on target, footwork was better. Everything about Penix was just much more crisp. You take a look. So I mentioned the Falcons are on a bye, Samo. Washington in a tough spot. They travel out to the Chargers here in Los Angeles. I've got 3 with the Chargers laying it, and they're going to be in a pissed off mood.
Yeah, this is an interesting one here because you're right. It's going to be an upset Chargers team. They're coming back from the East Coast, coming home. You've got an Atlanta team you have a Commanders team that had to travel to Atlanta, has to head back home, and then has to go out to California. So travel advantage here to the Chargers, however, not as aggressive as you may think because the Chargers also coming from New York. So not as big of an advantage as it would normally be. There are 2.5s and there are 3s in the market. So this is one of those situations where if you do have a lean either way, you can go ahead and scoop up the -2.5 with the Chargers. You can go ahead and take the 3 with the Commanders. I think we get Daniels this week. I think we get McLaurin this week. I think that's baked into the number right now.
So I would agree.
I would be surprised if either of them doesn't play because they were both close this week.
263, Tennessee at Houston. So it's time to blow things up and start over in Tennessee. This was ugly all around. They couldn't move the ball. They had just 175 total yards. They couldn't kick the ball. They really couldn't do anything. This is a great spot for Houston to get off the schneid. Survivor, you and I were all over Houston here, and it was never felt like obviously in doubt. 26-0, close 7.
I enjoyed the fact that my Houston Survivor pick was not nearly as sweaty as everyone who took Buffalo, and I get to save Buffalo for later. That made me happy this week. What didn't make me happy is I wasn't sure which team you were talking about when you said they need to blow it all up, because this wasn't a 26-0 stomping like it looks like in the box score here. This game was 6-0 at half. The Houston offense looked absolutely putrid. They were able to get 2 field goals. They made their field goals. The Titans missed theirs, or else this would be 6-6 at half. The fourth quarter, Houston puts up 20. It was a fugazi 20. Like, it wasn't like they were just like dominantly moving the football. No, they got a couple big plays. Woody Marks was the star of this game for Houston. He looked awesome. Rookie running back goes 17 for 69 on the ground, goes 4 for 50 through the air and 2 tutties. It's probably his backfield now. Gets more carries than Chubb there, and he's someone you got to be paying attention to in fantasy. But this offensive line stinks. I mean, this Tennessee pass rush has been awful all year, and Stroud was still under pressure in this game. So
constant.
Congratulations, Houston. You got to win. You're still a mess.
You are. If you can carry maybe some of that offensive momentum over, and it's not going to get easier, though. Who knows? It's a 1-3 Baltimore team. Houston heads to Baltimore. I'm looking, you may have the look ahead there. I'm looking at 9.5 right now with Baltimore laying it.
Yeah, that's the number. Like,
crazy.
Talk about disrespect for this Houston team. Not saying it's not founded. And you mentioned you're going to have a pissed off Ravens team. We'll get to that game a little bit later here with the Ravens and the Chiefs. 9.5. The total look ahead was 45.5. It reopened at 45.5. This will be the highest total in any game for the Houston Texans. They're 4-0 to the under. What makes you think that they're going to all of a sudden like be able to score against the, I get the Ravens defense trash. Like I said, we'll talk about them in a second here. But this isn't exactly a Ravens offense that's clicking on all cylinders. It's a very good Houston defense, and it's a very,
very good defense.
Very susceptible Houston offense. Give me the under. I'll take the under 45.5. I wouldn't be shocked if this closes at like 43, 42.5, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I wrote down under as well. 46, you can find a 46 out there right now as well on a Sunday night, Monday morning, sharp money. The next one for Tennessee, again, will the coach be there? That I think there's questions. Tennessee's going to be at Arizona, and Arizona's laying 9.5.
Yeah, Arizona laying a big number here. We've talked about the Titans coach. It's probably time. Look ahead was 7 in this spot. It's up to 9.5. The total was 42. It's down to 41 after that terrible offensive performance from the Titans. And, you know, I want to say Cam Ward was bad. Cam Ward didn't really have a chance. I mean, he ends up 10 for 26, but he's running for his life the entire time. The wide receivers aren't open. I'm not really sure what you can do with the infrastructure around him right now.
Next up, 265 Survivor. Chargers end up laying 5.5. So that came down a little bit, Samo. 5.5 on the Chargers. And if you look at Jackson Dart's stats, you're not going to be wowed. But he did exactly what he needed to do and why he should have been starting from the jump. He added a spark. He added something with his legs, a couple of touchdowns, and a win for the Giants, 21-18 over the Chargers. I thought the Chargers looked as sleepy as you could possibly look.
Yeah, they slept, walked into this game, and they lost Joe Alt in this game, who was their left tackle. And he was their right tackle, but their left tackle got hurt in the preseason in Slater. So they're now on to their third left tackle in this game, their second right tackle, their second right guard. And you're facing that Giants pass rush, and you could just see after Alt left that game,
yep.
It was just everybody trying to tee off on Herbert. He ends up going 23 for 41, but under pressure constantly throws two picks in this game. Jackson Dart was fine, but we talked about this on Thursday, man. The rest of that team was so fired up for him to be quarterback that you saw that team really just the level of effort was so much higher than when Russell Wilson was quarterback. I do feel bad for the Giants here because you find Jackson Dart, who looks like he's going to be fun. Not going to say he's going to be good this year, but he's going to be fun this year. He's going to take off. He's going to run around. He's going to throw the ball. But you lose Malik Nabers to what looks like an ACL. That's a season ender for him, which is tough for this Giants team because it just you feel like you have a little juice with Scadaboo. You feel like I have a little of a juice with Dart. Your defensive line shows up and plays well. You're able to move Abdul Carter out of the interior linebacker position to the edge. He was awesome. And then you lose Nabers. It's a shame because that was the fun Giants team I thought we'd see a lot this season. And now it becomes a little less fun because you don't have Malik Nabers, your number one wide receiver.
Huge emotional letdown. I honestly love New Orleans in this spot at 2.5 at home against the Giants, coming off a huge win. The Nabers news, I saw some of the, maybe it was Thibodeau in the locker room finding out about Nabers, and you could just tell like all the gas went out of them. So I think an interesting spot for the Giants, and New Orleans needs a win. I like them there. The Chargers, we mentioned, hosting Washington. The Chargers are going to have, you laid it out perfectly. Slater goes down, Alt moves over, had been great at left tackle. Those are two of their best football players, full stop. That is going to be an issue if Alt's out for an extended amount of time.
Yeah, that matters. 100% matters, and he was on the cart. So we don't know the extent of that injury yet. We will find out during this week, but I would be surprised if he's back next week. I would expect it's going to be at least a couple weeks before we see Joe Alt on the field again. And that just guts this Chargers team, man, because they couldn't run the football before Joe Alt got injured. Now, they did see Amari Hampton bust a couple here, so he has a big day on 12 carries for 100-plus yards, but that was the first time we saw any semblance of a running game from this Chargers team. I don't believe it's just magically fixed. I think that was more of how the Giants were playing defense and the fact that he busted a 54-yarder, which makes those stats look quite a bit better. So, man, it's tough. Like I said, you can get a 3 if you like the Commanders. You can lay the 2.5 if you like the Chargers. Both numbers are available. I don't know enough about what this is going to look like to bet it right now. Because if I knew we had alt and all and this was a healthier Chargers team, I'd want the Chargers minus the 2.5. If I know I have no alt and Daniels and McLaurin, I would want the 3. But I don't know yet. So this is one I kind of want to wait for the injury report. I will say this. If you like the Saints, Patrick, just chill. You might get a 3.
Yeah, if there's a 3, I would imagine it would get bought up quickly, but I do like the Saints in this spot, hosting the Giants.
Here's the thing. With waiting right now, you're missing the 1.5 or the 2, right? At worst case scenario, this goes to 1 on the Saints, and you're laying a point instead of catching 2.
Good point.
Not that big of a deal. If it goes to 3, that's a huge deal for you because then you're plus 3 instead of plus 2 or plus 1.5. So you don't lose anything in waiting, and you can gain something by doing it. So I would wait and see if you get that 3.
We did recommend 267. We recommended last week on Sunday, Sharp Money, taking Jacksonville over the 3. It ends up closing the 49ers 3. Mike, we were waiting for a 49er team that's just been living on the edge to implode, and they imploded in this one. They turned the ball over 4 times. And the Jags, you come away impressed with the Jags because they won on like old-fashioned. Really good defense, strong ground game, and some special teams.
Yeah, this was the number 2 or defense in DVOA for Jacksonville heading into this game. And I thought they played really well again. It's interesting to see them switch styles. They were an all-man defense last year. They're playing too high zone this year. They didn't have the dudes to play man last year. I love picking on them in prop markets. And this year, playing this too high zone, they're forcing you to drive against them. And the one surprise to me is they're getting pressure. They were able to get to Purdy consistently. They only had 1 sack today, but he was constantly having to move around, having to run around, and I felt like that really affected this 49ers team. Now, they're also so freaking banged up right now, Patrick.
I know.
Pearsall left this game with a knee. Jennings left this game with an oblique for a while. You did have DeMarcus Robinson back, but like you got Sky Moore out there running routes. Kendrick Bourne got 4 targets here. This is a busted up wide receiver room right now for the 49ers. So it's hard to take that offense overly seriously. And then you lost Bosa last week. We saw that really affect the defense this week. I didn't think the Jags offense was overly impressive. ETN looked good. He goes for 124, but 48 of that was on a single carry. It was the fact that San Francisco just didn't have the dudes, and it's all on Christian McCaffrey, who goes for 140-plus all-purpose and a touchdown, but just not able to do enough here as the Jags are able to consistently create turnovers on Purdy.
The Jags are forcing turnovers. That generally leads to wins. And Jacksonville is going to be hosting Kansas City next Monday night. Kansas City, I've got 3. Was look ahead 2.5?
The look ahead was actually 3 in this spot. So this is our Monday night game next week. Kansas City at Jacksonville. The total ticked up, I thought was interesting. So it was 44.5 on the look ahead, 45.5 on the reopen, based on this resurgent Chiefs offense that we saw today.
San Francisco, looking for them on my schedule. If you see, we talked about this spot. The San Francisco today may have been guilty of peaking because coming up on Thursday night, I don't like their, you just mentioned the injuries, and they come to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. No surprise, it has ticked over 3, 3.5. I still like the Rams.
Yeah, there is a 3 at DraftKings right now, minus 120.
Nice.
Go get it. Like
go buy it.
We talked about yes. Buying this 3 last Thursday and saying, hey, you, the Rams, this is a bad spot for San Francisco. Short week, banged up. I like it. I like McCaffrey receiving yards props. I've said that for 3 straight weeks. He's gone over for 3 straight weeks. With everyone else out, they got to throw to him. There's just not other options for them in San Francisco. And so he was lined at 45 this week, 42 last week. I expect he's in the 40s again. If he's in the 40s again on reception yards, give me the over one more time because they ran a hook and ladder to get him the football in the passing game today. They're finding any way they can. I would still lay the 3.5 with the Rams. I agree with you. I would go get the 3 at DraftKings.
Go get it at DraftKings right now.
Yeah, if it's not there when you listen to this, I'm still okay with a 3.5, and it's reduced juice, minus 105, plus 100 at some places as well.
Three's a great price on the Rams. And speaking of the Rams, 269, they got a 27-20 win over the Colts. The Rams do cover the 3.5. The big story here is, and I'm forgetting the receiver's name.
Edie Mitchell.
Mitchell, who I think he was trying to stretch the ball over the goal line. So I don't know if I can kill him. I don't really know what he was doing there, but he fumbles the ball there. And then he got called. You can correct me, but then he got called on a hold on another touchdown. This was kind of Indianapolis wasn't bad in the game. It was just two huge mistakes.
Yeah. What should have been a 76 yard touchdown was a 75 yard touchback instead for Edie Mitchell. He clears the defenders, has the ball tucked in one arm, and then as he is getting ready to cross the goal line, takes it out of his arm to hold it forward to celebrate and just drops the football, making the exchange. And the football bounces out of the back of the end zone. He knew he did it. He knew he dropped it. He went and tried to recover it, couldn't get on it fast enough. Take seven off the board, which, P.S., killed my over. Not happy about that. So take seven off the board there for the Colts. And they ended up still getting the lead. It went back and forth. And then you mentioned it. Big holding call when Jonathan Taylor busts a long touchdown run, breaks a couple tackles. That touchdown comes off the board, ends up being a field goal. And we get a monster game from Puka Nacua, who goes absolutely ham here. 13 catches on 15 targets for 170 yards. But it was 2-2 Atwell, who gets the 88-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter to seal the deal for the Rams here, 27-20. I think the Colts are still an over team. I played the over this week. It was 49.5. You had 0 points in the third quarter, and they missed the over by 2 points in this game. This is the offense is for real. The defense is not great. To me, this is a over Colts team.
You mentioned you get used to Jefferson, Chase, and Nacua. Those are your three best wide receivers in football. I've loved Nacua for years, and he is having he's making a case that he's right there with those two. And Matthew Stafford, it was locked in. 375. You mentioned the big pass to Tutu Atwell as well. He was locked in. But again, a little misleading. We talked about the Rams. I like the price three right now. DraftKings hosting a banged up 49er team. And then you have, and I like the over here as well. Vegas is headed to Indianapolis. 6.5, 48.5 on the total. 48.5, which I believe is what the Vegas Raiders and Chicago Bears closed at today. And it did tick over that.
They actually got bet down today, which I thought was crazy. It was 47 and a half okay. By the time that they kicked off. And the Bears did everything they could to try and keep that game under.
They sure did.
The first half, they had five possessions inside the Raiders 25 and had 6 points on those five possessions. Yet this game still found a way to go over. It was just a mess from Geno Smith. But yeah, this sets up really well. This Colts-Raiders game should be a track meet. Go ahead and play the over at whatever number that you can find it at, as long as it's under 50 in this case. There are 48.5, like you said, for the majority of the market. You can get a minus 104 at FanDuel right now. So the under's actually a little juiced. You may be able to wait and get the key number of 48, but I played a little 48.5, and it gets to 48. I'll play a little bit more.
Yeah, we did 271 Chicago, Vegas, Chicago, a 25-24 winner. We need another hour to really kind of explain this game. We did recommend the over. We got over barely at 49. A blocked field goal to win it. Bears go 2-2 and head to their bye.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and just get on my soapbox. Can teams stop settling for 54 yarders? Like, the Seahawks did it on Thursday night and almost cost us, because they did it twice. They did it the first time, missed the field goal, and then did it again at the end of the game. And the Raiders move the football effectively to the 35-yard line. They're like, hold on, I'm going to run it twice. Watch this. And then just settle for the game-winning 54-yarder. Guess what? You missed it. You could have moved the ball 20 yards closer, and it would have been just fine, and it would have been a lot easier of a field goal. I don't understand why these NFL teams decide to put on their turtle shell and duck their head inside every single time they think that they've got a 52-yarder for the win. Let's not assume 52-yard field goals. Things can go wrong, Patrick.
Ashton Jeanty, if there's a silver lining for the Raiders, the young rookie broke out today, but it is a Bears defense, so we may want to chill there.
But it is a Bears defense.
273, Kansas City 37, Baltimore 20. Baltimore closed 2.5. I was way wrong on this one with the Ravens. Look, it took 4 weeks, but the Chiefs offense finally came alive. And Worthy in there, and Worthy was a big piece of this. They were tremendous on offense.
So Xavier Worthy, MVP, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that was a completely different
Cal team. Raleigh or Xavier Worthy? No.
that's a good question. Cal Raleigh probably be a killer fullback. Look, Xavier Worthy, dude, this is hilarious. He runs for 38 yards and leads the Chiefs in rushing. Like, that tells you about
their
backfield right now.
Yeah.
But he goes 5 for 83. He has a 37-yarder. All of a sudden, explosive plays were available. And I'll say this. Like, when you add Xavier Worthy, much like we talked about at the Packers, you add Micah Parsons over there, everyone else falls down a rung, which means that they fit in their spot much better, right? Because when you've got Hollywood Brown as your two, when you've got Thornton as your three, and Kelsey tight end, that kind of fits to what you would expect. Now, when Rice comes back in week 7, all of a sudden Worthy's your two. This is a pretty good skill set outside of that running back position. I will say the Chiefs did give Breshard Smith more run today. He got 4 carries. He also was used in the passing game, rookie running back for Kansas City. I'd be interested to see if, like, look, Pacheco and Hunter cooked. Let's see what you got in
so
Smith.
So bad.
See if they can add anything. The story to me here was the Ravens, though, man. I mean, Lamar Jackson leaves this game with an injury. He was limping after the game. We'll see what happens there. I'm not sure if it was a bruised ego or a bruised hamstring, but we'll find out as we move forward here and what the condition is for him. This defense is a problem, though, and they need to fix it. Now, the nice thing for the Ravens, I was looking in-game, they're still -350 to win the division because their schedule coming home is so freaking easy, and it's the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Browns. So they have time. Don't panic on them. They got plenty of time to be able to try and right the ship, but the ship needs to be righted, specifically on the defensive side, because they lure a mess again.
Houston, Baltimore, we both talked about it, especially with the hamstring barking, the 46, which you can find at a book right now under Houston, Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't know how they get there. Houston's not going to move the foot. They couldn't move it on Tennessee. How are they going to move it on Baltimore, even with how bad Baltimore's been against good teams?
Kansas City's going to go on the road. We mentioned Monday, Jacksonville, two teams coming off big wins, and it's 3. And 45 and a half. I see a 44.5 over at FanDuel, which I don't hate for the over.
Yeah, so this look ahead was 3 and 44.5. So it did tick up in some places on the total. The number's still the same. I mean, I don't want to bet this right now. I would lay the 3 with the Chiefs if you told me to pick a side or a total. I just don't trust this Jags team. And if there is one team in the NFL who understands how to beat too high coverage and slowly and methodically go down the field, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been facing it for 5 years with Mahomes at quarterback. So I do think that they have a slight edge against this defense that Jacksonville's been running out onto the field. I kind of lean to the under a little bit, but I'm gonna go off of that stance because of the way the Chiefs offense played. Like, I talked about this in the write-up as someone, I only wrote up one look-ahead game this week on VSiN. That was the Seattle game, which moved from 1.5 to 3. I thought about playing the under as another look-ahead here, but with the way that the Chiefs looked, I've got to readjust their offense. I got to watch that game and decide how I want to grade them out, and I may get closer to this total.
Yeah, you can check the write-up over at vsin.com. Get all your betting needs over at vsin.com. Sharp money. So Green Bay and Dallas just wrapped up a 40-40 tie. The Packers will go on their bye, and you've got Dallas. Dallas is in an interesting spot here. So Dallas off the tie. They're going to head to the Jets. The Jets, of course, which we'll get to finish up our Sunday night program into Monday morning. The Jets are going to be playing on Monday night, coming back to take on this explosive offense.
Can't believe it ended in a tie, Patrick. Look.
Neither can the survivors that said we want the Packers.
Like, what are we doing? How in the world are you, if you're the Packers, you're like, yeah, I'm cool with tying the Cowboys. And like, how do you just mismanage the clock so poorly in overtime that you don't even get to have a full possession? Like, you didn't even lead. Like, it's one thing if you kick the field goal on fourth down and there's 18 seconds left or whatever. No, you had to rush a play to set up a game-tying field goal with 4 seconds left in overtime. That is just wildly chaotic, and it should not be like that. You had 4.5 minutes when you got the ball. It's just unbelievable that that's how that game ends there. Sorry, I'm just... No.
Sounds like somebody had some money either way on that one.
I had props. I actually did not have a side, but I had props, which, like, overtime didn't matter for my props. It was I was a loss by a half yard. That wasn't fun on Turpin, and I was over on Golden after the first play. So 1-1 in the evening game on the prop side, but a frustrating game nonetheless when you're watching that with Packers division tickets.
The second half total was 24. They scored 45 in the second half minus overtime by itself. So if you did bet that, congrats. Dallas, by the way, laying 1.5 at the Jets.
Yeah, look, we haven't seen the Jets yet. We'll see what we get from them. I just kind of feel like Dallas is a dead over team. This total was 46. Look ahead. It's 46.5 reopen. I realize the Jets offense is leaves something to be desired. But this Cowboys team, man, they gave up 31 to the Bears. They gave up 500 yards passing to Russell Wilson. Now they're giving up 40 to the Packers. And it never felt at any point that they could stop the Packers. That's what makes that last drive even more frustrating. I get Justin Fields isn't love. But isn't Justin Fields better than, I don't know, Russell Wilson? maybe we just take the over here, 46.5. The market went up from 46 on the look ahead to 46.5. Let's pop the over. I want to get it before it goes to 47.
We'll have more on Jets hosting Dallas on Thursday, Sharp Money, when we get a feel for where we go now, Samo, and that is 277. So Jets at Miami. You know, it's pretty much 2.5s everywhere, which is important because, you know, DraftKings, who's showing 2.5 on Miami, was showing 3 yesterday, 44.5. So Miami sub 3, 44.5 with the Jets.
I scooped up some 3 yesterday. There is a 3 at BetMGM. However, it's juiced at -130. So heavily juiced there on the 3. I don't mind Jets money line. I don't trust the Dolphins here, Patrick. And this is a team that can't stop the run. I think Breece Hall has a big night against this Miami defense. And I look back at that Bills game, which is the reason why they're a favorite here. People are like, well, the Dolphins got right against the Bills. I'm like, did they? Or did they play really bad? Because Tua looked awful in that game for the second straight week, really all season. And their defensive line still grades out as one of the worst in the NFL, which is obscene considering it's Chop Robinson and Chubb and Phillips and like Zeitzler. It's a really good defensive line, yet they stink because of an effort issue when you watch the tape. And I'm not sure that effort just changes until Mike McDaniel isn't the head coach of this Dolphins team. So I like the Jets in this spot. I just don't trust the Dolphins. I played some +3. I would take money line if you can't find a 3. I do think it's kind of a fun Monday night teaser. Take the Jets up, take the Broncos down. You can go to 8.5 and go down to 1.5.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
This is one of those situations. You got 2 Wong games on the Monday night. Why not have a little teasing fun?
Yeah, Mike, what I would recommend, I think keep an eye on the board because all those 2.5s on Miami are juiced. I think you're going to pop a 3, and if you can find it, I'd take the Jets catching the 3. But yeah, I don't hate the idea of going up with Miami and then maybe coming down here 279, the later Monday night football game with the doubleheader. Cincinnati's at Denver. I just out of curiosity, do you have a team total on the Broncos?
Give me 1 second.
And I'll set this up while you do. 7.5. So there were some 7s last time we spoke to you on Sharp Money, but it's ticked over that key number. Everybody's Denver 7.5 and anywhere from 43.5 to 44.5 with the Bengals and Broncos.
Denver, there's a 26.5 -130 to the over. You could probably find a 27 that is right around even money, maybe -105.
Okay. Love the idea of the tease. Anything just looking at this side in total fresh?
I mean, I like the Bengals or I like the Broncos here, but I don't want to lay the 7.5. If I could have gotten a 7 or 6.5, I would have been a little bit more interested. I think it's an awfully tough spot for the Bengals to come in here and try and compete with this defense. You've got Chase, who's going to have to deal with Sertan all day. T. Higgins props to me make a little more sense because you're going to have, the top cornerback in the NFL against the top one or one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. I'm just worried this Broncos pass rush is relentless here. They tried to remake the Cincinnati offensive line again in the offseason. It clearly has not worked. Browning, well, we've seen him be capable, has really struggled under pressure. And this is a Broncos team that pressured, you know, the Tennessee Titans at 50% on their dropbacks, 41% against the Colts. This is a Broncos team that's going to get after the passer, specifically their 2 edge rushers. I think Browning's under pressure the entire night. I think that ends up creating some turnovers. I think the Broncos win the game. Again, if the 7 pops, I take the Broncos laying the 7. At 7.5, I would just pass the side and just play a teaser. Take the Jets up to 8.5, take the Broncos down to 1.5.
Yeah, you might be able to pop a seven. Browning was so bad against Minnesota. It's so bad. And this is a tremendous spot for Denver coming home after the loss at the Chargers. Pissed off defense, altitude. Cincinnati is in for it.
It's a tough spot, man. And it's a bummer because, like, again, I kind of like Browning. I like the fact that he's one of those more capable.
He's got the turnover gene. He's got the pick gene, though. He likes to throw them.
He's a gunslinger who's not all that talented, right? Like, you have the talented gunslingers who can get away with some of that stuff. He can't really get away with all of it. And when he's under duress, he's okay with putting the ball into trouble or into harm's way. And that generally is not great when your arm strength isn't, Brett Favre, right? Or Aaron Rodgers. The problems happen in that case. And we've seen those the last few weeks with Browning.
All right. That's your two Monday night games. The theme for week four, what stands out outside of a disgusting tie, although a great game. Honestly, Dallas and Green Bay was as entertaining. Dallas has given us something this year.
Yeah, Dallas. Look, again, put Dallas in all the – put them on Thursday night, put them on Monday night, put them on Sunday night. They are an entertaining football team. Theme of the weekend is special teams, Patrick. And it was a theme last weekend. We talked about the kick.
Again.
It tilted so many different games in this. I mean, you've got obviously the Cowboys and Packers who both make field goals, but the Bears Raiders comes down to a last second kick that gets blocked early in the week. You've got that Seattle Cardinals game where you have a missed 52 yarder before a made 52 yarder to walk off that game. You've got that the blocked punt in the Eagles game that goes for a touchdown, absolutely changed that game. The Texans Titans, the first half, the Texans go 2-0 for kicking field goals. The Titans go 0-2. That could have completely flipped that game. I mean, just up and down today, we saw special teams and specifically the kicking game really affect the outcome of these football games. So I think you got to pay attention to how these teams are kicking the ball off and whether or not they're susceptible to some of these issues in the kicking game.
We didn't get to it. My apologies. Detroit 34, Cleveland 10. I'll just say this. The Browns have the same problem every week. The defense played well enough because this Lions offense was not great today. They held the Cleveland Browns, who probably have the best defense in football, held the Lions to 277 yards and lost by 24. They have a Joe Flacco.
They have a Joe Flacco problem, who goes for 184 on 16 for 34 passing, so sub 50%, and throws two picks. Hard to overcome that. They look great on the first drive, Patrick. And after that, it was pretty atrocious. Just end up with 3 points. Those 3 points came off of a Detroit Lions Jared Goff interception as he just hucked one up and got picked off. End up with 10. We had the team total under 17 there, so that was fun. If the Browns are playing good defense, just take their team total under. Don't mess around with the game under. Don't mess around with the total. Like, just take their team total under as long as Joe Flacco's starting. Second straight game, we saw some Gabriel in the game. He wasn't great. He looked meh. And Quinshon Judkins, I think we should say, he is clearly the lead back. 21
Absolutely.
Carries today out of the 27, and three of those were Flacco. One of them was their tight end, Fannin. So Judkins is clearly your lead back for Cleveland moving forward if you're looking from a prop perspective.
And Detroit heads to Cincinnati, going to have a rest advantage, obviously, with Cincinnati playing tomorrow night, Monday night, if you're downloading tonight. Detroit's 8.5 on the road at Cincinnati.
Yeah, probably should be, right? I mean, like you said, they're good. Cincinnati's coming in with one less day to prepare. We talked about Browning being susceptible to pressure. It's not just Hutchinson who's been able to bring pressure for this Lions team. They're getting Madubuike on the other side as well, who has been effective running the rushing the passer there. So this is a Lions team that I still have secondary questions, but if this pass rush is going to be able to heat up quarterbacks the way that they have the last couple weeks, that makes them much less susceptible in the back.
And Cleveland heads to London to take on Minnesota. It's 3.5. You got 4.5 over at DraftKings with Minnesota laying it. And we have a 2,000 total, like the Baltimore Ravens in 2000. We got 36.5 to 37.5.
Look, man, this is frustrating for me because I circled this as a survivor play. Just play Minnesota. The rest advantage here is unfathomable. You've got one team who is waiting for you in Europe, who has been on that clock for over a week, and another team that's going to fly over Thursday night or Friday morning and then play a football game. It's huge advantage for Minnesota. I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, I don't. 36.5 on the total. And by the way, I wouldn't be betting the over.
Yeah. There's a 37 in the market if you want to go under. Look, if the Vikings ever get to 3, I'm probably a Vikings backer. Right now, there's 3.5s in the market there. If the total ticks up, I would look at the under. But, man, it's tough to bet under a 37 when you have two quarterbacks who don't mind turning the football over.
Okay, that's a Sunday, Monday edition of Sharp Money. Do us a favor, spread the word, like, subscribe. We appreciate all of you. A good one coming up on Thursday. We'll be here for it. I say buy the Rams right now at 3, DraftKings. That's what I would offer as we say goodbye, because I would imagine they're going to be closing 3.5.
Yeah, I would go get your 3 if props are available. Nakua may go over his total, although we should see what it posts at. It's probably going to be in the 90s this week.
And we'll find out on Thursday. We'll be here. Mike Somich, VSiN at the track, wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, Ready, Set, Bet. I'm Patrick Maher. You can hear me on Mad Dog Sports Radio. It's VSiN Live, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you to the Cobra, Matt Deutsch, for helping us out as well. Thank you, Mike Somich. Have a good Sunday.
You as well, my man. Looking forward to Thursday.
We'll see you on Thursday. Sharp Money.